I'm Ashley Legasic.
And I'm Catherine DeClercq.
And we make up CTV's newest podcast, Life Unmasked.
We'll bring you everything you need to know about exactly how we're going to return to normal life post-pandemic.
New episodes come out every Thursday morning on iHeartRadio, and they're available on all streaming platforms later in the day.
We hope you'll tune in.
A timeless talent, golden for generations, the beloved Betty White has died at the age of 99, remembering the First Lady of Television, a truly treasured icon of the entertainment world. Good evening. Adored and cherished for decades, her fan base was wide, and so were her talents.
Actress and advocate, an endearing and enduring presence on our screens for so long. For many, her passing feels like losing a friend.
The older you get, the better you get, unless you're a banana.
A classic Betty White one-liner that perhaps doesn't ring any truer than for Betty White herself.
I don't really know anybody that didn't like Betty White. She was just so endearing. When you watched her on TV, when you watched her on the screen, it just made you feel good.
Betty White was a trailblazer.
It's a good day for singing a song.
From appearing in a number of variety TV shows to co-founding her own production company in the 50s and starring in her own sitcom series, The Betty White Show. One of her most iconic roles was on The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
I think a man should be virile and macho and just reeking with masculinity.
It would be just one in a string of memorable television sitcom roles.
I will see to it that your little dinner party will become a feast to remember.
Betty White managed to steal scenes away from some of the most gifted television actors of that generation on a show that like 40 million people watched every week.
Her comedic timing, a gift for live audiences on the set of The Golden Girls.
The scripts for The Golden Girls were purposely underwritten, so they were shorter than most sitcom scripts because Betty White got so many laughs during the live tapings that they had to actually shorten the script just to give the laughs time to play out while Betty White was on screen.
Over the decades, with each new character, her quick wit, humor, and endearing nature winning over new generations.
I thought that you weren't coming.
Well, I ran out of vodka.
In 2010, at the age of 88, she became the oldest person ever to host Saturday Night Live after fans launched a grassroots social media campaign.
You know what's an accomplishment? Staying awake on the toilet.
White was an animal welfare advocate, was married three times, and called her third husband, TV host Alan Ludden, the love of her life. She told People magazine in a recent interview that she was born a, quote, cockeyed optimist, and described herself as the luckiest woman in the world. Betty White was 99.
And she would have turned 100 on January 17th. Betty White had more than 115 roles to her credit and won 17 Emmys. And with 9 decades in the business, the comedic icon was honored by the Guinness World Records as having the longest television career by a female entertainer.
As you can imagine, there are plenty of tributes being paid. William Shatner tweeting, "Saddened to hear Betty White has passed. I loved her comedic wit and endearing charm. She definitely was a sweetheart to the world and a gift to the entertainment world."
Viola Davis writing, "Man, did I think you would live forever. You blew a huge hole in this world that will inspire generations. Rest in glorious peace. You've earned your wings."
White's Hot in Cleveland co-star Valerie Bertinelli posting, "Rest in peace, sweet Betty. My God, how bright heaven must be right now."
And Ryan Reynolds, with whom White shared a playful friendship, writing, "The world looks different now. She was great at defying expectation. She managed to grow very old and somehow not old enough. We'll miss you, Betty. Now you know the secret."
And you can head to our website to read more tributes and learn more about Betty White's life and career. That's all at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
And later tonight, the countdown to 2022, another New Year's Eve with parties pared back by the pandemic, how Toronto is making the most of it, and the events around the world.
Safe to say this isn't how any of us wanted to be marking this December 31st. Instead of a celebration, there is still uncertainty with Omicron playing spoiler.
Ontario charging into a new year in the same fight, but the tactics are changing. CTV's Mike Walker is live outside Michael Guerin Hospital with more. Mike.
Well, Zoraida Nathan, Ontario's top doctor is expecting cases to continue to surge and take about 6 to 8 weeks before they peak. And as cases soar, only individuals who are considered high risk can now get a publicly funded PCR test. As Omicron accelerates, Ontario reporting its highest single-day spike in COVID-19 cases yet, nearly 17,000.
This next 6 to 8 weeks are when Omicron is going to be at its peak.
The province's top doctor warning the next month will be rough.
I do hope we'll be on the descent in February, and that in March we'll have population immunity plus immunity through our robust immunization strategy.
Thank you.
As cases soar, people are desperate for assurance. Hundreds lining up outside Hillcrest Mall in Richmond Hill for free rapid testing kits.
For the kids, just to make sure we're safe at home.
Glad we have it, and
just like peace of mind.
This as new testing guidelines took effect today. Publicly funded PCR tests are now only available to high-risk individuals who are symptomatic or at risk of severe illness. Health experts say it will now be harder to understand the true spread of Omicron.
It also will make data gathering a lot more difficult than it already is. PCR testing is still the gold standard. It is the gold standard not only for confirming that you do have COVID, but it's also reportable in our system.
Anyone with mild or no symptoms now told not to get tested. Instead, if fully vaccinated, to isolate for 5 days from the onset of symptoms.
I feel like everyone around me is getting it right now.
Leading to uncertainty and concerns for some about transmission and work.
Now I'm not going to know if I'm positive or not because I can't get tested.
That gray area is pretty concerning because people could be having COVID, but out and about because they don't know if it's positive.
The Registered Nurses Association sounding the alarm over the new testing guidelines.
That they're giving up on any attempt to control this virus, that they're going to let it ride and rip through our communities. Our concern is a health system collapse.
We have a finite capacity for the testing, maximum number of 100,000 tests a day. Over 30% today are positive already. As a result, we have widespread community activity. So we don't have to test everybody.
But the province insists the PCR testing changes are necessary to ensure individuals who need it have timely access. Now, the province is working to secure more free rapid antigen tests to be handed out at pop-up locations. In the meantime, Dr. Moore says officials are working to better understand the hospitalization rates. He believes anywhere between 30 to 40% of all hospitalizations could be the result of incidental cases, that is, other than COVID-19. Reporting live, I'm Mike Walker. Back to you.
Thank you, Mike. As updated testing criteria takes effect, Ontario is once again logging another record day for new cases of COVID-19. And given the tighter PCR eligibility, tonight's figures will likely be the last to even remotely reflect the virus's spread. Public Health Ontario is reporting 16,713 new cases in its most recent update. But health experts say this is likely well below the actual number of infections because of testing availability and capacity. There are 205 people with COVID-19 in intensive care units. That's an increase of 5 from yesterday. More than 75,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours, with more than 106,000 still under investigation. And the province's positivity rate is sitting at 29.8%.
Comparing some of those numbers to 1 week ago, again, there are currently 205 people with COVID-19 in Ontario ICUs. On December 24th, that figure was 164. The province says there are at least 1,144 people hospitalized with COVID-19. And 1 week ago, there were 508 people.
With case numbers soaring, several hospitals in the GTHA are facing mounting pressure, especially as some healthcare workers fall ill or go into isolation. The William Osler Health System tweeting, quote, "Our hospitals are currently facing significant pressures and you may experience a longer wait than usual in our emergency departments. Anyone looking for care at the organization's hospitals is asked to check online to see the estimated wait to see a physician."
It's a similar story at Hamilton Health Services. A spokesperson confirming to CTV News the hospital network is facing a staffing shortage. The statement links the issues to both the holiday season and employees who were impacted by COVID-19. Hamilton Health Services has issued an appeal to healthcare workers who are able and willing to step forward and help out.
from the health system to the school system and the scramble to get things ready for next week.
Students and educators due back in class on Wednesday, but are those two extra days of winter break enough to prepare? CTV's Sean Lethong is live in Etobicoke with more. Sean.
Well, Nathan and Zarata, yesterday parents and students were hit with the news that the classes would be delayed for 2 days. Today it was about digesting that news and trying to figure out just exactly what it means.
With classes delayed an extra 2 days outside this Etobicoke High School, the reaction is...
Mostly it's just confusion, disappointment, and people want to know why things are happening the way they are.
Grade 10 student Peter Kelly says that he and his friends were hoping for better news. He was looking forward to playing on the Etobicoke Collegiate Volleyball team, but he fears that may be on hold.
So that's really disappointing. That's basically what this year's been all about, just kind of big highs, big hopes, and then going back down to disappointments.
In his announcement yesterday, Chief Medical Officer of Health Dr. Kieran Moore said that Christmas break would be extended for 2 days in order for schools to enhance safety measures and better prepare for Omicron. Outside schools today, parents said,
I don't know how much we're going to do in 2 days. It's going to honestly change the course of any transmission in schools because we had problems already before the holiday started.
Like, make no mistakes, we're all going to get this. We're in cold and flu season for sure. So I think that... I think that the reality of having kids back in school is extremely important.
In a letter to parents and students sent out yesterday, the Toronto District School Board says they're using the extra 2 days for updating the COVID-19 school and child care screener ahead of the return to school, providing high-quality 3-ply cloth masks to students free of charge, pausing high-contact indoor sports and some extracurricular activities, and updating COVID-19 reporting requirements for school boards. And they're meeting today in an effort to give parents answers to questions like the changing screening, what will classrooms look like, and will the timetables change, among others.
With the increased number of COVID cases in the province and in the city, we would anticipate that absenteeism among students and staff would be higher. What is that going to look like? How do we support those staff and students during that time?
TDSB spokesperson Ryan Bird says they hope to update parents on some of those issues tonight, while others will have to wait until next week. Appearing on CP24 this afternoon, Education Minister Stephen Lecce says he's confident in the steps the government is taking.
And I feel so strongly, and I know our premier does as well, that kids should be and can be in schools in a safe manner.
He says that improved ventilation and use of N95 masks for teachers is above and beyond what public health had asked for.
I think we will get through the next few weeks. They will be tough, but it's worth the effort to get our kids in school, to keep them safe, and to keep them learning.
But on a day when there are 16,000 confirmed new cases of COVID-19, the Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation is concerned that this plan may be wishful thinking.
And we need the schools to stay open. Face-to-face learning is best. We've been saying that for months now. But is this going to be possible with the number of cases that we have?
The test will come when students return on January 5th.
And just in the last 10 minutes, the TDSB has sent out a new letter to parents and students. In that, they talk about what they're going to do going forward, that being classes will, in fact, start on January 5th. One of the issues being that students will be able to bring their own masks, but they will be able to be offered that 3-ply mask that the government had suggested. Also, they talked about issues that can be expected in schools, like elementary school students can be expected to cohort even at recess. And then there's also going to be updates to the screening tool. They will be updating it with different symptoms that are more attuned to Omicron, so parents will have to look for that. As well, issues like sports will likely be canceled, contact sports in school, intramurals, and some music programs. Many of the issues they do have, they will be focusing on into the next week. Another one being that PCR testing, while it's been taken off the table for many people in the province of Ontario, there is the at-home PCR test kits that will continue for students in schools, and rapid testing. They're saying that students should save their last one or two rapid tests till before they come back so that they can test before they go to school. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lethong. Nathan, I'll send it back to you.
All right, thank you, Sean. 4,630 more cases are considered resolved, raising that total to more than 647,000 over the course of the pandemic. 15 additional deaths are linked to the virus tonight, meaning 10,194 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Tonight's regional update includes nearly 3,900 new cases in the city of Toronto and more than 1,600 in Peel Region. York has nearly 1,400 new cases, with 865 in Hamilton and 766 in Durham. There are 756 new cases in Halton Region and 358 in Niagara.
Well, most are scaling back their New Year's plans, but if you are going to be outside tonight, it's comfortable. Michelle Jobin's here with a look at the current conditions. Michelle.
Well, Nathan, you're absolutely right. We've been trending on the milder side, of course, in the last couple of days, and we'll continue to do so through the overnight period and into tomorrow. There is a change on the way, and we are under special weather statement in the city of Toronto and much of the GTA and areas around Lake Ontario, Lake Erie. We'll talk about that coming up. Not too much to worry about tonight in terms of precipitation until we get through the overnight, and that's when we might see a little bit more drizzle throughout the region, but we're still staying quite warm. Winds are relatively light out of the east at 7 kilometers an hour in the city of Toronto. And what we're looking at in terms of temperature, it's warm. We got up to 7 degrees at Pearson Airport today. It's 7 in Oakville right now, 4 in Newmarket, 3 in Bowmanville, 4 in Niagara Falls. It was very warm in the Niagara region. Earlier, we're at 5 at the islands, 5 at Pearson, going down to an overnight low of 2, which is about 10 to 11 degrees above seasonal. We'll talk more about your forecast coming up. Back to you, Zoraida.
Thank you, Michelle. The countdown to the new year is underway here in Canada, but other parts of the globe have already rung in 2022.
Festivities were scaled back in many places as COVID-19 precautions were in effect. Australia welcomed the new year with a light show and fireworks display by the Sydney Harbour Bridge and Sydney Opera House. There were smaller crowds as COVID-19 cases surge in that region. There was an even more subdued start to the new year in New Zealand. This was the extent of the light show in Auckland after authorities canceled several fireworks displays. The decision was made as a precautionary approach in a country which hasn't seen any community spread of the Omicron variant.
3, 2, 1, Happy New Year!
In Hong Kong, they counted down to midnight in a celebration at Victoria Harbour that also included a live orchestra and fireworks. Tokyo canceled its official New Year's countdown, but thousands of people came out to celebrate despite pleas from authorities to avoid large gatherings. Festivities went ahead in Dubai. A special laser show took place at the Burj Khalifa with crowds of onlookers in attendance.
In New York City, residents are filing into Times Square for a scaled-back New Year's Eve. While some cities have canceled celebrations, officials say New York's high vaccination rate makes it feasible to welcome smaller, masked crowds to watch the ball drop at midnight. Las Vegas is going full steam ahead with its New Year's plans. More than 300,000 visitors are expected to celebrate in that city, as officials advise mask wearing indoors and urge anyone who's feeling sick to stay home.
For its part, Toronto will be ringing in the new year at midnight.
But nothing close to some of the big gatherings around the world. Gene Holmes is acting programming manager for City Cultural Events and joins us now. Thanks for joining us. So tell us about the plan to mark the new year but not draw a crowd.
Well, we've been trying really hard to plan a safe event for citizens of Toronto. So we're looking forward to bringing great music and fireworks via the live stream event on the city's YouTube channel.
Right. Can people watch just from outside anywhere?
If you can see the lake, you'll be able to see the fireworks. These are really high aerial fireworks, the likes of which we haven't seen for a long time in the city, and they'll be firing out over the lake.
Great. A lot of times people tend to converge downtown, maybe at the skating rink. Is anything done there to prevent people from gathering?
Well, there isn't anything happening on Nathan Phillips Square or around the CN Tower, so there really isn't any point in going down there. What we've done is put signage up to encourage people to sort of go home and watch the event on their televisions or computers or handheld devices.
For sure. And what about the skating rink itself? Will it be open all night, or is it going to close at a certain time?
The rink at Nathan Phillips Square is closing at 10 o'clock, and all of the cavalcade of lights installations that are in and around the square will also shut down at the same time. So it'll be pretty dark on Nathan Phillips Square.
Understood. And what's your general advice for people that want to have a good time?
Well, I mean, my advice is the same as the Toronto Public Health advice, which is stay in small groups, ideally with your household, stay home. Don't go out into the city and, you know, congregate in large settings. That's exactly the thing we're trying to avoid people doing.
So, sure. Hopefully next year we can have a big celebration and get past this.
Oh, yeah, I'm so ready to say goodbye to 2021. I don't know about you.
I'm with you. All right, Jean Holmes, Happy New Year.
Happy
to the City
New Year
of
too,
Toronto.
Too.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
And as we enter the new year, COVID cases continue to rise right across our country.
More provinces announcing stricter measures while urging people to get their boosters. CTV's Creason Adjikate reports.
In Quebec, where there were also more than 16,000 new cases today, officials hope the province-wide curfew now in effect will help curb rising case numbers.
Because we have to get the number of cases down, otherwise we are going to very shortly run out of hospital beds.
New Brunswick's Premier Blaine Higgs gave his update virtually in isolation as he announced he tested positive for COVID. He has his booster and says he has cold-like symptoms.
Like most of you, my own family has had multiple close contacts with COVID.
Non-urgent and elective surgeries and procedures in New Brunswick are being cancelled due to the strain on the province's healthcare system as COVID cases rise. The province is also limiting PCR tests to high-risk and symptomatic people starting Tuesday.
They will be reserved for areas at highest risk, including healthcare workers and people who live or work in long-term care facilities, homeless shelters, and correctional facilities.
Starting Monday in Alberta, the isolation period is being reduced for those who have COVID and are vaccinated from 10 to 5 days, as long as symptoms have resolved. Those unvaccinated must continue to isolate for 10 days. Those same measures are also being put in place in BC.
How do we prepare for supporting staff who are ill to stay home and to have business continuity planning in place?
BC announced today that they will expand booster eligibility to slow the spread of the Omicron variant. Pregnant women and essential workers will be prioritized, and those 60 and up can receive their booster shot 6 months after their second dose.
As the countdown to the new year approaches, health officials are recommending smaller gatherings within your own household or gatherings as small as possible to prevent any more outbreaks. Creason Adjikate, CTV News, Ottawa.
When it comes to vaccinations across the province, 87.1% of eligible people aged 5 and older have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. And 81.3% of eligible people are deemed fully vaccinated. In Ontario, that's still considered two doses.
The federal employment minister says unvaccinated Canadians will remain barred from accessing jobless benefits that result from that decision. Federal pandemic benefit payments are not provided to workers who lose their job or hours because they haven't gotten vaccinated, unless they have a medical exemption. Employment Minister Carla Qualtro says those rules are likely to stay in place while COVID-19 remains a significant threat. Federal aid was revamped this month to offer $300 a week to hard-hit sectors and workers subject to lockdown restrictions.
A rare winter wildfire continues to burn through the Denver suburbs after forcing tens of thousands of people to flee their homes.
We might have our very own New Year's miracle on our hands if it holds up that there was no loss of life. We know that many people had just minutes to evacuate.
High winds fueled the flames as they spread quickly. Well over 500 homes have been destroyed. Officials say the fire probably won't grow much further as snow has started falling. The White House has approved a major disaster declaration in Colorado.
The U.S. reported another record increase in COVID-19 cases Thursday, more than 580,000.
It's almost not worth it to say we're breaking records. We're breaking records every day and we'll probably continue to do so.
COVID hospitalization numbers are climbing in several states, with many reporting a rise in children who need to be admitted for treatment. Health experts also warn that with so many Americans not vaccinated, they're expecting a tidal wave of new patients in the coming weeks.
Meanwhile, U.S. air travelers are dealing with another challenging day. More than 1,000 flights have been canceled today, with nearly as many canceled so far for tomorrow. JetBlue, Allegiant, and United Airlines are seeing the biggest hit to their schedules. Companies have blamed the issues on staff shortages linked to COVID-19 and weather conditions. Industry analysts say most canceled flights will be rebooked, and airlines might shift to using larger planes to consolidate service.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is urging people across his country to get vaccinated as the start of 2022 promises a worsening wave of hospitalizations.
So make it your New Year's resolution, far easier than losing weight or keeping a diary. Find a walk-in center or make an online appointment. Get that jab and do something that will make 2022 a happy new year for us all.
Parts of the UK put COVID-19 restrictions in place, closing nightclubs and limiting service at pubs and bars. But England has not. Officials in Scotland and Wales have urged New Year's revelers to avoid traveling to England, but no travel ban is in place. Here at home, driving deaths are up in Toronto in 2021, with a toll that continues to evoke stories of tragedy on our roads.
And as CTV's John Woodward reports, one group is calling for new technology in new cars to take the decision to speed out of the hands of drivers.
If you blink, you will miss it. That blue Corvette seen in security footage released from Ontario Superior Court was driven by Paul Manzon. Manzon's trial on criminal negligence and dangerous driving heard he allegedly pushed his Corvette to speeds of up to 164 kilometers an hour before a horrific crash in 2018. Somewhere in the twisted metal, three dead: Allison Jones, her 7-year-old son Miles, and 12-year-old family friend Julia Ricobene. Manzon has pleaded not guilty to 8 charges in connection with the crash. In November of this year, Fatima and Valdemar Avila were moving slowly in traffic when their car was struck by someone driving at a high rate of speed. They were both killed. And the cases continue to literally pile up. Statistics show 58 people died on the road in 2021 in Toronto, a grim tally up from 40 last year, though down from 64 the year before when the pandemic had yet to begin.
Whether the speed limit is, 80, 100, 120, we know that the faster speed you go, the more serious the crash is when you have it.
As cases mount, one group says it's time to take speeding out of the hands of drivers and limit the ability of a car to drive past the speed limit.
One of the major questions that comes from just about anyone is, why does my car go that fast?
Modern cars have the ability to know exactly what the speed limit is on any given stretch of road. This one has a heads-up display that will compare your speed to the speed limit, and if you're going faster than the limit, it will flash those numbers red. But it doesn't really do much more than that.
Relying on drivers to do the right thing and to drive safely is a demonstrably failed road safety strategy. We've been trying education and enforcement for nearly 100 years, and it has not worked.
Car manufacturer Volvo has said it will limit speeds to the far higher 180 kilometers an hour. Other objections also include what cars would do during an emergency and the political hit any party might take from some drivers.
Cars don't cause accidents. Humans do.
I'm probably doing maybe quite often 120 or 140 on the 401, and along with all my other drivers. We're all doing like 120 to 140. So don't tell me I can do only 100 kilometers an hour in the 401.
Would be a great idea, especially if it's going to reduce the number of crashes. It'd save a lot of lives.
As for Manzon, he is still waiting for a verdict, expected in January. John Woodward, CTV News.
Durham Regional Police have shared a list of some of the most ridiculous 911 calls operators received this year that definitely were not emergencies. To name a few, police say there was a 911 call from someone complaining the drive-through line at Taco Bell was too long. In another case, two parents called in hopes officers would come and scare their son who was talking back. The list also included a number of residents who had issues figuring out their Wi-Fi password. And in one case, a caller dialed 911 to ask for the non-emergency police number.
Still ahead tonight, got any vacation plans for 2022? The new incentive the province is hoping will keep you closer to home.
I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, so many things have changed during the past year, including how and where we work out. With restrictions at gyms, sales of home exercise equipment have soared. But what should you actually have to give you a well-balanced exercise routine? All of my reports, that's just ahead.
We are on the milder side through the overnight and through the day tomorrow, but there is a change on the way. Let's take a look at how things work in terms of our upper air pattern. Colder air circulating in Saturday night through Sunday. It's going to be quite cold, especially by the time we get to Monday morning. And there is snow on the way to talk about. Well, we are under a special weather statement in the city of Toronto. I'll tell you more about that in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
With so many restrictions on fitness clubs during the pandemic, many people have changed their workout routine to exercise at home.
No one wants to buy equipment they're not going to use. So what are a couple of items that you can get to get you in shape without breaking the bank?
Pat Foran has some advice on Consumer Alert.
Treadmills and ellipticals have been favorites for home gyms in the past, but during the pandemic, many people have invested in an exercise bike. If you're just starting the process of setting up a home gym, Consumer Reports has three recommendations to get you started. When you say exercise bike these days, chances are you think of Peloton. With a big touchscreen and a huge selection of live and on-demand classes, Peloton has its fans, and Consumer Reports says they're onto something.
The Peloton was the best exercise bike we tested, getting excellent scores for features, noise, and adjustability.
But with a price tag close to $1,900, it's a splurge that might force frugal fitness fanatics to take a time out. Researchers say you can still get a great cycling workout without the Peloton bike.
You can buy an exercise bike that's a third the cost of a Peloton, sign up for the Peloton membership, and use your smartphone or tablet.
A more affordable exercise bike that testers recommend is the Finer Form Indoor Exercise Bike for $650. To get some strength training into your at-home workout, adjustable dumbbells are a good option.
Adjustable dumbbells are very flexible. Using a pin, dial, or lever, you can easily change the weight you're using.
But building muscle doesn't come cheap. One of the best options in tests is the Flybird adjustable dumbbell at $160. And a key component of any home gym is a yoga mat. They're good for all kinds of floor exercises. For an at-home workout setup that can cater to multiple needs, an exercise mat like the ProSource Fit Trifold Folding Exercise Mat may be a good bet. Whether it's yoga, strength training, or cardio, apps like Apple Fitness Plus, Peloton, and Equinox Plus can help you find the perfect workout on your mat. Many people who like to work out at the gym have returned to exercise clubs, but many others haven't. While more clients may go back to the gym in the year ahead, it's expected that in-home workouts are not a trend, but are here to stay. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
For people who are planning to spend some time outdoors on this New Year's Eve, certainly mild.
Yes, certainly comfortable. Nathan Phillips Square open till 10 tonight, Michelle.
Yeah, and it's a good night to be out there, relatively speaking, as long as you're bundled up. We don't have a lot of wind chill. We have milder temperatures. And that's going to continue into tomorrow, but there is a change on the way that I need to tell you about. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. So lots to talk about in terms of your forecast, both for New Year's Eve tonight, for New Year's Day, and as we get back into the swing of things for the beginning of January. So temperatures have been a big story. Bitterly cold in Western Canada. That's starting to move into Northwestern Ontario. You'll notice that we're at minus 16 currently in Thunder Bay, feeling like minus 23. 5 degrees is our current temperature here in the city of Toronto. We got up to a high of 7 degrees today. That is a full 8 degrees above our seasonal normal high for this time of the year. So the milder trend has been in place. Some people may like it. We haven't had a lot of sunshine, a few sunny breaks here and there today. And we do have a fair bit of cloud cover as we head into the overnight period. Our low tonight, 2 degrees. It won't feel much colder than that. Wind chill will be relatively negligible. And then we also are looking at our normal low for this time of the year being minus 8. So we're quite comfortable as we head through the overnight and the early morning hours. Fog is very likely to redevelop in many areas in southern Ontario through the overnight. So be aware of that and also slick roads from the drizzle. Tomorrow getting up to a high of 5 degrees. So again, well above seasonal. It's quite comfortable. But as we get into the afternoon, we have the advance of a system that's going to start to cool us down and give us some precipitation. And it's going to be of the snowfall kind of precipitation. So not a lot to show you on satellite and radar right now. We do have some snow off to the west of us, some showers to the south. And again, that spotty drizzle through the overnight period. We're in the warmer sector of this low. It's as this front slides through that things are going to change up. So I will show you what we have in terms of our special weather statement. It's really for areas that are mostly through southwestern Ontario and then especially along the shores of Lake Erie and also Lake Ontario. So we're looking at the potential for 5 to 10 centimeters of snow through these areas Saturday night, through Sunday. So changing from drizzle over to snow and temperatures quite a bit cooler. So you might get a mix of things through the overnight and some gustier winds as well. So be aware of that. So if I put our forecast radar in motion, I show you here as we ring in 2022, we'll be doing that with some rainfall here in the city of Toronto and to the southwest. A little bit of snowfall to the north, and then through the day tomorrow, a little bit of drizzle. And then as we get into the evening, we cool down and the snowfall arrives. And as you can see, it's a fair bit through the overnight period. It's going to last into Sunday morning and through the day before we clear out, and then we're significantly colder. So what we're looking at is 5 degrees tomorrow, then -4 overnight, so big change. Sunday, we continue with that snow, -5, -12 will be our overnight low, feeling like -20-ish. And then Monday, quite cold again with some sunshine and a high of just -3. Stay with us, of course. We have a lot more to talk about in terms of your news, and I'll recap your weather forecast coming up. We'll be back just after this.
Did you by any chance get a new tablet for Christmas?
If you have an old one that might need a new home, a local program is seeking donations. CTV's Pauline Chan has more.
It's a program that brings toe-tapping joy and laughter to the young and old alike.
Music Share is doing what we can to raise awareness around the idea of senior social isolation, particularly those living in long-term care.
Director Julian Powell says the program provides seniors, especially those with dementia, with music that is relevant for them, as well as a companion with whom to enjoy it. The students are from Seneca, Ryerson, St. Mike's, and other schools.
I get you up there, old time,
typically, lots of the seniors, they just like listen to music that reminds them of past memories when they were younger and any good moments in their life.
You got such a variety of music on that tablet.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Pretty woman.
Now Music Share is hoping to collect more gently used tablets, especially after people may have received new devices for Christmas.
These iPads are going to enable us to grow the reach of our program and provide meaningful music to even more seniors throughout the GTA.
Music Share has suspended in-person visits for now, but they hope to resume in late January. And if you have a gently used tablet you'd like to donate, go to wearemusicshare.com. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
The family of Quebec filmmaker Jean-Marc Vallée is remembering him fondly days after his sudden death at age 58. Variety quoted a representative saying Vallée suffered a heart attack on Christmas Day. Vallée's sons released a statement today reading in part, "Our father was a generous man, deeply human, and who lived life to its fullest. He was a source of inspiration for many and leaves wonderful memories for those who had the privilege to work with him, to love him, and to appreciate his craft." Plans for a celebration of Vallée's life.
Harry Potter fans are about to get a big magic spell of nostalgia.
It has been lovely to see everyone. It really has.
It's been a long time since I've seen any of them.
HBO Max has shared a new behind-the-scenes look at a reunion special featuring appearances from Harry Potter cast members decades after the movie's first release. The retrospective is being billed as a trip down memory lane. Harry Potter 20th anniversary Return to Hogwarts begins streaming tomorrow. And Spider-Man is swinging into more box office success as we head into the new year.
I've only had 1 week where my life has felt normal.
Spider-Man No Way Home once again dominated ticket sales on Thursday. The superhero sequel is now the 11th highest grossing release in North America ever, surpassing the 2019 remake of The Lion King. The movie was also the top-grossing domestic release of 2021.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
She was a lovely lady.
We're so sad about her death.
Updating our top stories, tributes are pouring in tonight for Betty White. The beloved actress and comedian died today at age 99, just weeks shy of her 100th birthday. White is being remembered for her decades-long career and her roles in countless classics, including The Golden Girls and Mary Tyler Moore Show.
This next 6 to 8 weeks are when Omicron is going to be at its peak.
Ontario reported nearly 17,000 COVID infections today. That's another daily record as the province shifts its rules so only priority groups can access PCR testing. Officials say the step was necessary with limited testing capacity. Critics say reduced testing will make it harder to track Omicron's spread in the community.
Stay home. Don't go out into the city and, you know, congregate in set large setting.
And there will be no New Year's Eve celebration in Nathan Phillips Square tonight. The city instead opting to broadcast a concert and fireworks online. Other parts of the world have already rung in 2022, while a reduced crowd will be in attendance for festivities in New York's Times Square.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was up 63 basis points to 79.08 U.S. American benchmark oil slid 178 a barrel to close at 75.21. And the TSX Composite Index lost 71 points to close at 21,222.
It's the incentive designed to help stimulate Ontario's beleaguered tourism sector. A new tax credit taking effect tomorrow.
So if you are planning to travel, is 2022 shaping up to be the year of the staycation? CTV's Dylan Dyson reports.
With the Ontario government ready to give you back some money to travel locally in 2022, operators at Somewhere in Calabogie hope you'll stay with them.
Calabogie itself is quite the destination. We've got something all season.
The new inn opened at the end of the summer and is ready for a big year in 2022 with Ontario's new staycation tax credit.
In the wintertime, we have the ski hill and there's snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, beautiful ways to get outside. In the fall, we've got beautiful fall colors and people actually come from all over.
The staycation tax credit applies for a stay between January 1st until December 31st and will reimburse Ontario residents for staying at hotels, motels, resorts, cottages, campgrounds, and the like within the province.
So for two nights here in one of the nicer rooms, it's going to be about $600.
Ontarians will get a 20% personal income tax credit on accommodation expenses, up to $1,000 for individuals and $2,000 for families, for a maximum credit of $200 or $400 respectively.
There's a very positive feeling amongst our tourism operators that it will be a good year next year for tourism across the board, really.
With cottages, campgrounds, the abundance of waterfront, and large events like the Ontario Winter Games coming to Renfrew County, the Ottawa Valley is planning to be its own destination in 2022.
For us, a staycation, we actually have a lot more options, let's say, than somebody from Niagara Falls.
So bringing it closer to home and seeing like what's only an hour drive away or a 4 hour drive away is a really nice opportunity for people to kind of grow roots in their like Ontario and Canadian ways.
Dylan Dyson, CTV News, Calabogie.
Tonight, a one-on-one with Canada's top doctor.
Absolutely. Every pandemic comes to an end.
Theresa Tam on the pandemic timeline and the prospect of annual COVID boosters. Later on CTV National News.
All right, last look at weather for the end of the year. How is the end of 2021 looking?
The end of 2021 is looking quite mild. We're at 5 degrees still in the city of Toronto. That is well above where we should be. We had a high of 7 degrees. We are under a winter weather travel advisory, though, for Saturday night into Sunday, 5 to 10 centimeters. Could be a little bit less on the way, but it's going to be snow on the way and dropping temperatures, because after tomorrow's high of 5, with that drizzle that we're getting overnight into tomorrow, we drop to -4, a high of just -5 for Sunday, down to -12 for Sunday night, and then a high of just -3 on Monday. Back to you.
Thank you, Michelle. And that is our report for this New Year's Eve. Our next local newscast is tomorrow at 6.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and Nathan and all of us here at CTV News, have a good night and Happy New Year.